Good to see you today.
Welcome to Youth Sunday. We did have a blast up at junior high camp, and I feel like I'm blasting out the speakers. You can back me off a little bit, but he might be helping me out. I got a little bit of a cold today, so if I do some mouth breathing, I apologize. That's just going to happen. But sometimes when a speaker does that, you think, does he know about it? Yeah, I do. I know about it. I'm aware. Well, we did have a great time at camp, and even though this is Youth Sunday, we're going to continue in our series, Catching Fire. And so you want to get your Bibles out, turn them to Acts chapter 6. We're going to start in there. We left off there last week. And get your outline out of your program. You're going to need that today, especially if you're a note taker. If you're not, consider trying it out. Take some notes today. Even if you throw it in the receptacle on your way out after writing it, it helps you retain all that. Well, so far in the Catching Fire series, we've been talking about the advancement of God's kingdom. That's what the fire is. It started with Jesus and the first generation church as the Holy Spirit came on them, and the fire of God's kingdom was advancing, and it continues. We're learning that it continues in us today. That fire continues to advance. And it's no coincidence that the theme for junior high camp this year was radiate. It was about being a light that shines in the darkness, that radiates Christ's love and his light for all people to see it. And we're going to pick up on that theme, the theme from camp, and bring it into this week's message, which is entitled, The Fully Fueled Life. Now, we've been looking at the fire from what I would call it the helicopter view so far, looking at the whole church as it's spreading, like if you're in a helicopter looking down. But today, we're going to zoom in, we're going to get in close, and we're going to study a single flame among the raging fire. And we find this flame in Acts 6, beginning there, and his name is Stephen. We were introduced to Stephen last week as the church in Jerusalem was growing. There were some problems with the food distribution, and Stephen was one of the seven people chosen to help solve that problem and to oversee the meals program. Today, we're going to see that Stephen's life winds up having a vital and lasting impact far beyond when his days are done. And what's more, we're going to see how our lives have a purpose. No matter who you are or where God has you, your life is designed to have a lasting impact that goes far beyond your days here right now on earth. Now, it's all going to be wrapped up in our main idea. So if you haven't gotten the outline out yet, you thought, well, I'll get to that maybe later. Nope, now, get it out, because this main idea makes the difference. We're going to see it in Stephen's life, and we're going to understand how it applies in our life. The main idea makes the difference on whether or not our light, the light God has given us, will have that lasting impact. And it goes like this. Fuel your flame for the finale. Fuel your flame for the finale. If you have trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a part of this raging fire. And your single flame can make a great impact. But just as we've been talking over the last several weeks about the church needing to be fueled by God, okay, something God does among us, he fuels us, he needs to do that for us individually too. We need to fill our tanks individually. And so we're going to look at Stephen's life today and discover five fundamental fuels that keep our flame burning brightly right up into the end, whether it's Jesus coming back or us being called home to him. These fuels keep us burning brightly to the end, all right? And so the first one is this. Depend on God's presence. Depend on God's presence. In Acts 6:5, last week we looked at it, it told us that Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about this. This means to submit to the Spirit's authority, to depend on his active presence in our lives. And that's why we can read just a few verses later, as we pick up in our story today now, in verse 8 in chapter 6. And help me out with the yellow print. We read this about Stephen. It says, "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great miraculous wonders and signs among the people." That power that he had comes from God's presence in his life. Now, what were these miraculous signs? What were these wonders? You know, the first time when I was a teenager, I read this, I kind of had this image in my mind of like a street performer making like strange spiritual fireworks, you know, just to entertain people, kind of like an X-Men or something. There's Jubilee from the X-Men. But of course, showing off, doing magic tricks, that's not what Jesus is about. And that's not what his disciples were about. So what was he doing? Was he healing the sick? Yeah, maybe. Maybe he was doing those kinds of things that the apostles were also doing, that Jesus did. Maybe it was God using him supernaturally within his ministry, that food distribution ministry, using his spiritual gifts there to do something supernatural in running things there. Whatever it was, Stephen was fully depending on God's Spirit, on his presence in his life. And it was having a great impact. It was manifesting God's power in his life and in the lives around him. And so the question is, are we keeping our tank full by depending on God's presence in our lives? How are you doing that? How do you depend on God's presence daily in your life? Are you seeking him in prayer daily? That's a huge part of it. Are you asking God to empower your life by his Holy Spirit? Inside and outside the church, whatever he has you doing, you don't need to be a pastor to have a lasting impact. Stephen wasn't a pastor, he was a deacon in the church. We learned about that. Are you praying it up? You know, whether you come in on Sunday to usher, to greet people at the door in the name of the Lord, to work with the kids, whatever you're here to do, maybe at a special service project, are you praying it up? Pray up what you're doing before you do it. Even outside the church, when you go to your job, to school, interacting with your family, when you get up in the morning, spend that time in prayer. Pray it all up so that it isn't just you going out into the world, but it's God's presence going out with you, because then you'll see his power working in your life. Get that tank filled. Get praying. Depend on his presence. The second fuel that keeps the flame burning brightly right until the end is to grow in wisdom. You want to write that one down. Grow in wisdom. According to last week's passage, Stephen was known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. The Spirit and wisdom. And we see that at work as we continue along in our story today. Take a look at this with me. Remember, Stephen is depending on God's presence. He's seeing God's power at work in his ministry, in his life. And then in verse 9, here's what happens. It says, "Opposition arose, however, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen," as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Sicilia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, help me out, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by whom he spoke. Stephen is filled with the Spirit and with wisdom. Each of us in the church, every one of us in this room, if you're a Christ follower, you have been called to proclaim the gospel to the world around you, whether you're an apostle or a waiter. And each of us, like Stephen, we're going to encounter opposition in our lives, if we're doing our job, that is. It might be at home among your family. It might be among friends or at school, at work. It might even be on Facebook. You post something about your faith, and maybe you have a friend that just is anti-religion, and he just blasts you or she blasts you on Facebook. Whatever it is, when you're living for Christ, you're going to receive opposition. And the fuel there that can make the difference in how brightly you shine in those times is godly wisdom. Are you growing in wisdom? God grants us his wisdom, but we have a part in it too. Our part is studying. Our part is learning from the Word and at church. It's asking the right questions and listening and reflecting and applying the knowledge of God to our lives. That's our part. This includes, of course, our daily Bible study, our church attendance. Here's a couple Bible studiers right up here from junior high camp. There you go, leading us by example. It includes being plugged into a small group so you can grow together with a tight-knit circle within the church and grow in godly wisdom that way. It includes having a friend, another believer, an accountability partner or mentor that you bounce things off of, you go to for advice and wisdom. And as you grow in these things, you find that you'll have God's wisdom in working out in your life. This is your part in keeping your tank filled. And when we do this, you and I will be like Stephen. We will stand when opposition comes in a way that burns brightly in the lives of those around us, even when we feel like we're being attacked. And so make sure you're doing your part, which is getting into the Word. The third fuel that you want to write down, that it keeps our flame burning brightly right up until the end, is to guard your character. To guard your character. When the apostles were staffing that food program that Stephen was overseeing, they said this to the people. I'll read it to you. You can help me out. They said this. They said, "Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom." We see how Timothy fits that profile. All right, Timothy, Stephen fits that profile. Different guy. Also a good guy. And we're going to turn this responsibility over to them. And so what do we learn there about Stephen? Well, we learned that he had a solid reputation. He was chosen by the people, from among the people. Yep, this is a guy that we know is Spirit-led. He's full of godly wisdom. He has a good reputation. We can count on this guy to be honest working out the food program. And so he had a sterling reputation because of his godly character. That's why when we continue in our story, it says, look at this, as the story continues in verse 11, opposition rises against Stephen, and then look what happens. It says, they secretly, these are the people attacking Stephen now, they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speaking words of blasphemy against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs of this handed down to us." And all who were sitting there in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Wow. His face was like the face of an angel. Nobody had anything on Stephen. They have to try to discredit him with lies, and he's still coming out shining, literally, in this case. He's glowing. The thing makes me think of when Moses met with God and then came down to the people, and they said, "Cover up, Moses, your face is so bright because you've been in God's presence and close fellowship with him." Stephen's face just radiates. Now, I don't know that your face is going to glow like the face of an angel, all right, in your life. It might do that. But the takeaway here that I want us to get for now is that this was a man that was tight with God, and he was above reproach. He was guarding his character. Nobody had anything on him. They're lying. They're being unfair with Stephen, but he is standing strong. His flame is burning brightly. You know, we've seen people in high positions of influence fall. We've seen people in the church around the world. We've seen people that we've looked to as leaders fall because they were not, they had the talent, they had the opportunity, but they weren't guarding their character. They weren't watching their own walk with God and making sure that they were guarding their character. I want to emphasize this especially. This goes for all of us, but I want to emphasize it with the seniors who are graduating or who have graduated now. I've been to some of your parties. I'm excited to go to some of the rest of your parties. Thank you for the invite. It means a lot. First, let's recognize them. How about that? Let's see some of them. We've got Susie Barba that's graduating. Yeah. Another graduate is Erica Hansman, graduating. Yeah. Cheered for Erica. A third graduate we have among us is Katie McCluskey. And another one we have is Seth Schick. Let's hear it for Seth. All right. Yeah. I'm so proud of you guys. I really am. You guys are going to go off and do great things for the Lord. And I really am proud of you. And each of the fuels we're talking about today are very important. But this is one that gets overlooked a lot. Guarding your character, even in the church, sadly, this gets overlooked. And so I just want to charge you to guard your character, graduates. All right? Watch your own walk with God. Because for your flame to burn brightly until the end, you need to fill it up with godly living. It makes all the difference. Church, bring you guys back into this. Where are the character leaks in your life? Where's the tank leaking? Here's a leaky fuel tank in a car. Not a good thing. The character leaks in our lives are sin. That sin that just robs us of that. And we, these temptations we struggle with and surrender to, and they rob us of our godly character. What's the character leak in your life? Plug it up. Confess it to God today. Ask God to search you and to reveal the character leaks in your life. Sometimes we're not aware of our own character leaks, all right? We might be the last one to know, even if all the people sitting around you right now know what it is. Ask God to search you. You could lead a great Bible study in your home, but if you're mistreating your family when the church isn't around any looking, that's you're losing. You're losing the fuel. You're not going to have the impact in your ministry, in your life, that God wants you to have when the tank is full on godly living. And so let's guard our character. The fourth fuel that we're going to look at today that keeps us burning brightly until the end is to extend grace. Extending grace. That sounds like you're giving something, but let me talk a little bit about that. Let's see how it worked out in Stephen's life. Extending grace. Remember what we read about Stephen just 5 minutes ago. It read in Acts 6:8, Stephen was a man full of God's grace and power. So Stephen has said, let's catch up here or remind ourselves. Stephen is said to be full of God's Spirit, full of God's wisdom, full of godly character, and full of grace. This guy is just full of it, isn't he? In a good way, in the right way. Watch how this plays out as our story continues here in Acts and in Stephen's life. Watch how this grace just pours out of him. He is full to overflowing with it. Look at this. They've just produced all these liars against him. Remember that? And then it says, if you look at starting in chapter 7 now, in verse 1, it says, then the high priest asked Stephen, are these accusations true? And this was Stephen's reply. Help me out. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. He addresses the crowd, his accusers, as brothers and fathers. Do you remember where this opposition began at the beginning? It was from this synagogue of freedmen. All right, these were people from regions where they were these Jews that were spread out by the Roman Empire, influenced by the Greek and Roman culture of that day, and many of them came back to Jerusalem, but they were called Hellenized Jews. We learned a little bit about them last week, too. And Stephen, if you remember, and if you don't, I'm going to tell you right now, if you were away like I was, Stephen was picked from among these Hellenistic Jews, the Jewish Christians. And so he was one of them. He very well could have been originally from one of these areas where some of these people came from to accuse him. Imagine that. Imagine your own family coming up against you, or your own friends, or your fellow coworkers, people you loved, respect, trusted, just turning on you. Imagine the rejection you would feel. They're joining a mob to arrest you, and they're lying about you. They're saying things that are just lies. They're accusing you of being against the very God that you're standing up to proclaim. What an insult. What an emotional roller coaster. What a reason for retaliation. But Stephen doesn't say, "Listen, you idiots." He doesn't do, I'd do that maybe, if I hadn't heard this message first. He doesn't say that. He says, "Brothers, fathers, listen to me." He's pleading with them, "Listen to me on this." Stephen was full of grace in his ministry when things were going good, when it's easy to be full of grace and show kindness. But he was also full of God's grace, even in the face of his accusers, even when he's being accused falsely. And so the question is, how do we confront the world around us? Even our church family here, do we deal in grace with one another? Do we deal in godly grace? Grace is defined as undeserved kindness. So you say they don't deserve it. That's right, they don't. That's why it's grace. It's undeserved kindness. It's what Jesus gave us when he took the penalty for our sin on the cross. We didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve that treatment. But he took the penalty for our sin on the cross and showed us undeserved kindness there. We can never repay Jesus for what he's done, for the grace that he's poured out on us. But we can extend it to others. We can go out and extend that same grace. When you're mistreated, respond with love, with respect, with kindness. Don't return evil with evil. That's not what we're called to do. Remember that even in the face of the fiercest criticism, the person that you're having this tussle with, that's a person God loves. That's a person that Jesus died for, just like he loves you and died for you. The way that I keep my tank filled with this, it's just a practice that I've done for a long time now, is every morning when I'm spending my time with God, I reflect on the cross. No matter what passage I'm in the Bible, no matter what else is going on that I need to pray about in my life, the first thing that I always think about is Jesus on that cross dying for me. And that I can never get over that. I can never do enough to pay him back or pay it forward enough that I don't need to worry about it anymore. I'm never getting over that. That's always going to be the reason. The fact that God Almighty would die for me is always going to be the reason why I will extend grace, undeserved kindness, love, and respect to all people, because God loves them. And Jesus died for them. When we have opportunities to show grace, we need to take them. There are opportunities around the church, you know, to show grace. We've got the meals ministry that goes over at Trinity just down the street. Here's a little picture. When you go outside, you'll see it live and in person if you look far enough down Van Dyke. Every second Sunday of the month, there's a group. It's become a smaller group than it used to be. Goes down there to help serve meal to the less fortunate and the homeless in our community. And we're invited to take part in what they're doing. They need us over there to staff that. And so would you pray about getting your family involved, getting your small group involved, and going out there and doing that? We remind you in the program when it's coming up. And so look for those opportunities and take them. Another opportunity that's coming up in August is that Life Remodeled service project. You're going to be hearing more about this, and if you want some details today, back at the information booth, there's the prayer letter, and it talks a little bit about what Life Remodeled is, but we want to join with several churches and other organizations around the Metro Detroit area and fix up a neighborhood all around this Cody High School, and we're going to do that together. This is an opportunity to show people grace. You don't know them. You know, the world might even say you don't owe them anything, but you do, because Jesus, He gave us grace, and so what we owe is just pouring that out. And that's actually how we keep the tank full. Isn't that weird? As we pour out the grace, it stays welled up within us, and it stays full. Let's seize those opportunities, as Stephen did. The fifth fuel that we're going to look at that keeps our flame, you know it, burning brightly until the end, to the finale, is to trust God's greater plan. Acts 6:5 tells us that Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. We looked at the Holy Spirit part. Now we're going to look at the faith part. Stephen is full of faith. He trusts God, even here in the face of his possible death. You see, the charges that are being laid against Stephen, these were charges that the Jewish authorities had the power to execute somebody for. And without getting Rome involved, it was the one thing, speaking against the temple and the law and the customs and blaspheming. These were the charges they tried to bring against Jesus. And if you remember, Jesus didn't answer at that time. He kept his mouth shut, and he didn't answer. And so they were like, fine, now we got to take him to Rome. And they went to, not the city, to the people. And so they went to Pilate, the governor that represented Rome in their area. And that was all part of God's plan. Jesus was going to die on the cross, and it was going to be very public and accomplish everything that God wanted to accomplish there. Here, Stephen has got the same charges against them, and he could have backed out. He could have shut his mouth and not said anything, but he trusts in Christ and his plan, and he stands up even in the face of his possible death. We can see this in a few different ways, this trust in Stephen's life. We're going to look at three of them. They're the last couple of notes there on your outline. I call them the trust test trio, because pastors like to have things start with the same letter. And I couldn't think of three F words that said all that. And so I had to go with a different letter instead of the fueled fire, all those words. Number one, the test trio, is to stand for Christ over self. To stand up for Christ over ourselves, even when we're on the line. Now, so Stephen's faced with this possible execution here, and he has the chance to defend himself, you know, to appeal. Hey, I'm your cousin. Remember, I used to worship with you a few years ago back at the synagogue of freedmen over there. No, he could have done that. He could have recanted. Oh, I was just kidding. I was just kidding about all of this stuff. He could have just kept silent. He could have just shut his mouth and refused to testify against himself. But like each one of us, Stephen was called to stand up and be a witness for Christ. Not for himself, for Christ. And so he opens up his mouth, and in Acts 7, and we just don't have time to look at it together now. Whatever that is needs to stop. That's crazy. Focus on me until it's no longer happening. Acts 7, he makes this defense for Jesus from the scriptures, and it's beautiful, worth reading in Acts 7. Check it out. He's figuring it out. All right. Even when things are guaranteed to become difficult for him, he continues to stand up for Christ. Will you stand up for Christ even when things are difficult for you? I just found out it's not me. I turned myself off and on. It might even hurt you to stand up for Christ sometimes. You think, well, here, I stand up for Christ and sing songs. Well, what about when it comes to an issue like Jesus is the only way? Or an issue like the sanctity of human life? Or an issue like God's design for the family? These are hot topic issues in our society. Just turn the speakers off. Are they off? You, just turn the speakers off. I'll yell. Turn the mains off. That's still not doing it. That's weird. All right. Well, we won't let us just be distracted any longer. And so, will we stand up for these things, even when it's controversial? It's hard to do it. You say, maybe I'll just shy away from these things. But these are things that directly impact people's physical and spiritual lives. Jesus is the only way to heaven. We need to stand up for that, even if it doesn't look good for us. And so let's be willing to do that. The second trust test there on your outline that you want to look at there, write it down. It's to speak the truth boldly. Now this shaking people up that need to be shaken up with the truth about Jesus. If my neighbor's house were on fire one night, and I looked across the street, I was awoken by maybe the smell of smoke, and I look across the street and his house is on fire, you better believe that I'm not going to just wait until morning to give him a call, because it might be rude at this hour to call him, right? I'm not going to walk, okay, so now I've got the courage to walk over there, and then I just tap. Oh, hi, yeah, excuse me, sorry if I'm bugging you, but I was just, my house is really comfortable, and nothing wrong with your house or anything like that, but my house is really comfortable, and when it's convenient, maybe you want to come over and join me for some coffee one day. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to run over, and so are you. You run over to your neighbor's house, you pound on the door, you scream for them, you break a window if you have to. You got to get their attention. Now, all of those things would be very rude if it were not their lives on the line. It'd be very rude for me to do that if their house wasn't on fire. Call them in the middle of the night, bang on their door, scream, break windows. Very rude. But their life, their very life is on the line. And so we do it. Perfect. We don't need slides. If you want to see my cool pictures, you can look back. Don't worry about it. Wow. It's their very lives. And so we go out and we risk it all and we boldly speak the truth about Jesus. People need to trust in Jesus. If your friend is rejecting Jesus with his life, if he's trusting in himself and he's acting like his own, he's being his own God of his life, he's in charge, not Jesus, he's living in rebellion to the true God who made him, that person's eternal life is in immediate danger, like your friend's house on fire across the street. And so we need to get in people's faces. We need to be bold. We need to shake people up graciously, lovingly, but we need to speak the truth. We can't forget to be bold. And so risk looking like a weirdo and go out and do it. You know, there's a small group study coming to Stony real soon. It's called Just Walk Across the Room. Just walk across the room. The book looks like that behind you. There it is. Just turn your head across the room is the sequel. If you're not plugged into a small group, guys, will you consider plugging in? This is talking about how to share your faith, how to get up the courage and just walk across the room, all right? To share your faith with your friends, your family, the people you interact with throughout the week. Consider joining a small group if you aren't already in one and applying the things that we're going to be learning together in a lot of these groups. There's a list on our website of our different groups you can check out, and there might be a list back there on the information booth. Finally, the third test here, are we trusting Christ as if we're committing everything to God's purpose? Many of you here probably know what happens next in the story of Stephen. I'll say that again, commit everything to God's purpose. Maybe you're here and you say, yep, I know what happens next in the story of Stephen's life, but consider the person sitting here today that this is the first time you're hearing this story, and you don't know what's going to happen next. Stephen has been a great example to us of being Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, having truth and grace and boldness, and he's full of it in the best way. And so maybe now this is it. You're expecting God is going to reach down and he's going to supernaturally somehow save Stephen from this very ominous-looking situation. But let's read on. It says, picking up in verse 56, and I'll just read it to you, all right? We'll do it that way. It says that the Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations. They shook their fists at him in rage. And then you skip to 57, it says, they put their hands over their ears. They don't want to hear anymore. They began shouting. They're getting loud. They don't want to hear the truth. And they rush at Stephen. They drag Stephen out of the city and begin to stone him. In verse 59, it says, as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he fell on his knees, shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And then it says, with that, he died. Friends, this is the first martyr in the Christian church. A martyr is a term for someone whose testimony about Jesus cost him or her his or her life. Stephen was full of faith. He literally gave everything for Jesus. Even in his death, he conforms to the image of Christ, doesn't he? He says, I commit my spirit to you. You take my spirit. He says, forgive them of this sin, just like his Lord Jesus said when he was on the cross. He gave his everything. And even though Stephen didn't get to see the impact that it would have within his lifetime, he gave it all, trusting that God had a greater plan. In our lives, we can't ever say to ourselves, what's the use of standing up for Jesus in this culture, in America? It's never going to change anything. Don't say that to yourself. Don't think that to yourself. Don't play that on your tape. You may not see it. But trusting God's greater plan, which involves your life, your light. You don't know everything he's going to do from beginning to end. But he sent you out to be a light for him. Look at what happens at the beginning of Acts chapter 8. After this dark moment here at the end of chapter 7, look what happens. It says, on that day, great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. And then in verse 4 it says, those who were scattered, listen to this, they began to preach the word wherever they went. The opposition appeared to win that day, didn't it? They killed this faithful, upright, gracious, and wise, spirit-led waiter and spokesman for Jesus. And it led to a time of persecution that was so bad the church hadn't seen it like this before. They're murdering Christians now, and they still are today. It was a dark and tragic day, but here's the thing. It wasn't a loss or even a setback to God's greater plan. Because those that were scattered were emboldened by Stephen's example. And they went out fully fueled, and they preached the gospel, it says. Wherever they went, the gospel began to spread outside of Jerusalem after that day. May we be emboldened by Stephen's example and go out and proclaim the gospel wherever we go. Whether we see the tide change and the fire rise in our own lifetime or not, or if our life is snuffed out, our light will never be snuffed out when we're fully fueled to the end. We're going to have the band or the people getting ready for the offering come on up that are going to play a closing song. I want to tell you, we're going to have an example of this where we need to trust God's greater plan. It's coming to Stony in just a few weeks. It's called the Tapestry Ministry. Why don't you turn your head just for a moment and look there? I've got a slide up there. And that's coming. That information's on Facebook, so you don't need to commit it to memory. You'll hear more about it, but it's about how God works in our lives. Even when what we see from our perspective is a mess, God is weaving together something amazing in our lives. But our part is to trust in him and to become fully fueled so that our light will burn brightly until the end. The main idea, if you forgot to write it down, here it is one more time. Fuel your flame for the finale. Let's close in prayer together as we get ready to take the offering. Father, I thank you for the example of Stephen in Acts here. And we would have loved to have seen him escape this death, but we know he didn't die in vain. We know that he was part of your greater plan. And because his life was fully fueled, your fire, your kingdom began to spread in new and exciting ways, even in the wake of his death. Lord, may we seek to be fully fueled in all the different ways we wrote down on our outline. May we fill our tanks, do our part, expect you to do your part so that we can go out and shine brightly and see the fire go on and spread. Father, we thank you for our opportunity to meet together today. And as we worship you with our tithes and offerings, we pray that this would be part. This would also be fueling what you're doing here, Lord, and that we would see your kingdom advance. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.